The passage that we just heard portrays a very typical scenario of a miraculous healing of Christ. Similar scenario in most of the miraculous healings of Christ. Christ heals, the crowd is amazed, the Pharisees reject, Christ responds. You'll see the same model in almost every miraculous healing. But I would like to focus on just one verse from the response that Christ offered and draw some practical applications from it. Just one verse. When Christ said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So how can we safeguard or protect ourselves from this vice of division, or the vice of being divided? Surely we can do that by the virtue of being united, by unity. And this is what I would like to discuss with you in the next few minutes, the virtue of unity. The church teaches us every morning in the Agbaya prayers and matins to keep the unity of the believers, or the unity of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read in the Agbaya, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And at the end, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And our Lord himself prayed for the unity of the church and the believers in his priestly prayer. In John chapter 17, he said, I pray, he's praying to the Father, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. And in the liturgy, Abuna prays in the litany and he says, may the oneness of heart be rooted in us, the oneness of heart. So the unity of the church, it is one of the central themes in the New Testament. We're all here in this church to partake of the sacrament of unity. That's the sacrament of the Eucharist. When we partake of the Eucharist, we are united with one another by being united with Christ. Listen to what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. Why? He goes on to say, for we all partake of that one bread. And also Abuna prays in the liturgy and says, in the beginning of the seven litanies, he says, make us all worthy, our master, to partake of your holies unto the purification of our souls, bodies, and spirits. Why? So that we may become one body and one spirit. So imagine with me, we enter the church as many. We exit the church as one. We enter as many and we exit as one. There are several metaphors for the church in the New Testament. The church is described as the bride of Christ, the household of God, the vine and the branches, the flock. But one of the most beautiful metaphors of the church in the New Testament is that the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ. It's the most beautiful of those metaphors because it perfectly describes unity within diversity. Unity within diversity. The unity with the diverse members of the church. Whenever I say the word unity within diversity, something comes to mind. Do you know that this was the quest for not just for us as believers, but in the academic world? In the world of academia, what they wanted to do way, way back then is to achieve precisely that, unity in diversity. Unity of students with the diverse background of all these students. So they came up with an institution and they called it university to achieve unity in diversity. That's what the word university came from. Back to the metaphor of the human body as a representation or a symbol of the church. The human body is made up of diverse members, with diverse functions, and the body of Christ is just like that. St. Paul says in Romans 12, he says, as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We do not all have the same function. So we, being many, i.e. diverse, are one body in Christ. And he goes on to say, and individually members of one another. So we are not only diverse, but we are members of one another. In this day and age, we live in an age, I would say, the age of independence. And the idea of being dependent is frowned upon. It's viewed as a sign of weakness. But in Christianity, within the church involves interdependency. I need you. We all need one another. We're all dependent on one another. St. Paul says something so beautiful in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The church is not so much an organization, it's an organism with living members. And this organism can only be healthy when the members of this organism, when the members do their function. This reminds me of, I have to draw some analogy with some football stories. I'm a big fan of football, and one of the regarded to be one of the greatest coaches of football. His name is Bill Belichick. He used to he coaches the New England Patriots, and he won six Super Bowls, and he's supposed to be one of the great coaches. And they asked him, "What do you tell your team? What do you tell your team to motivate them?" And one of the many tricks he would say, and if you watch football and if you follow the Patriots, you'll see that he would say one thing to them, do your job. And if you were to Google his name, you'll see, do your job. And he would say, if every team member on my football team, if they were to do their job with all the diverse talents that I have, our team will win. And what does that mean for us? How can we contribute to the unity and the flourishing and the harmony of the church? One of the ways, one of the sure ways, is this: by using our God-given gifts to serve one another. Our distinct, unique gifts to serve one another. Only then will we achieve this unity and harmony within our diversity. Each one of us has a gift. No one can say, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. We all do. St. Peter confirms it. St. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, he says, as each one has received a gift, not as some people, only the elite or this group or this class of people, each one, as each one has received a gift, do what with it? He says, minister it to one another. Serve one another with this gift as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This gift is a God-given gift. We all receive gifts on our birthdays, graduation, wedding, what have you. And sometimes we receive gifts we don't need. What do we do with them? We store them. Maybe you re-gift them, just making sure we don't re-gift it to the person who gave it to us. And we don't know. Maybe the person doesn't know that I don't need this gift, but we get a lot of gifts in different occasions. But that is not the way we are we're gifted by God. Our Lord knows exactly what we need, and not only what we need, but what the body of Christ needs. He's given us these gifts, and he's saying, listen, I'm giving you this gift. Use it. Not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of my body, so that my body may be what? Edified, may be built up, and living in harmony and in unity. So there are people sitting around us this morning, next to you, behind you, in front of you, and some people are going through various stages of need. Some people are going through some difficult times, and they need someone to listen to them. Will you be that listening ear to them? Some people are seeking guidance. Will you be that guidance for them? Some people are going through trials and tribulations and anxiety. Will you be that words of encouragement for them? When that happens, the entire body benefits and is built up. And here is the very wonderful, beautiful result and the principle we all ought to know. When the body is edified, the head is glorified. And that's how it works. When we edify one another, in turn, we are glorifying the head, our Lord Jesus Christ. So edification of the body results in glorification to the head. How do we do that? Again, by using the God-given gifts, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of all. So those gifts are not so much toys to play with or weapons to fight with, or trophies to boast with, but tools to build with, to build each other, so that when we're all edified, we can achieve the unity and the harmony that our dear Heavenly Father seeks of us. And we can bring Him glory by this unity and this harmony. May our dear Heavenly Father grant us this spirit of unity, the spirit of harmony, so that we can edify one another and bring glory to His name. Glory and honor be to His name forever and ever. Amen.